You good to go?
Yes, ma'am.
Excellent. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, this is season three, so I do invite you to have a look at the two previous seasons. There may be some topics there that will resonate with your reality now. So have a look at that. And today I'm going to jump right in. I have a great, just an amazing guest coming on. I'm really excited to have her on. She's a great book. I can't wait to show you all this. So I'll introduce her right away. I have the great Linda Harkey with me. Thank you so much, Linda, for joining me. I'm really, really glad that you were able to come on.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great. And before we get started on the work that you do, can you briefly tell us about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Right. I'll be more than happy to tell you about myself. My husband and I had over 30 hunting dogs in our lifetime, and we lived in various places, the last one being up in on top of a mountain. And I really got started with books and wanting to write books when I was basically a child, but more or less in my 20s and 30s. And I would see different situations and I would think that would make a great book. And I really started writing. I've been writing since 2005 that I published my first book, but my books are about all types of animals. But animals are great subjects and characters because they actually give us life lessons for all of us, for parents and teachers, and for children in particular. And I'm basically a storyteller of children's literature, and it plays a role in parenting. And how does it play a role in parenting? Well, in this neighborhood, we have a lot of young children in this neighborhood. So when I first moved here, I would hand my books out to the families and just tell them, if you have any questions, please let me know. And pretty soon I was hearing from parents that said that they really liked them and they would read them to their children if they were young at story, bedtime. And so books are more than stories, they're tools. And that's the way that parents use them. They use them at bedtime to read to the children. And then when the children became older, they were independent readers. And then the families could discuss them during dinner time or other times. And I got extremely good feedback on that. And so that's what I really enjoy and love doing. And I've loved that since I was probably young. But as I've gotten older, I worked at museums. I mean, I did teach school, and I taught on the East Coast. And then when my husband and I came back to Oklahoma, I became involved in the Gilcrease Museum in Tulsa and also in the Cowboy Hall in Oklahoma City. And I was a docent for over 20 some years between those two museums. And that's when you really learn to do teaching. You take the children, you take them into the paintings, and you've got a story. And you would ask them, what do they see? What do they smell? They're using all of their senses. And I think that that is really important. So that's how I just have a passion for animals. And that is my thing, are the animals. And we can learn humility and friendship and everything through the children, all sorts of character situations.
That's so true, and you've touched on so many things there. But yes, books do create that connection with a parent and a child. I think it's that time together where you can appreciate a story. And working with children, I know that they're natural storytellers and they're creative in a way. So to bring that to life with colorful characters and animals, I think it's wonderful. You have, I could see in your screen there's just the, I think it's the ear of the pink piggy. Are you able to share
Right. Tomorrow I'm going to an elementary school and
Nice.
I'm going to be reading to second, third, and fourth graders. But I don't just read. You have to involve the
That's
children. And this is, and I'm going to put this down if you don't mind,
No,
so that
not at
you
all.
can see.
I love them.
This is Pink Piggy, and it says, where is pinkpiggy.com? So Pink Piggy is going to go with me, and I want the children to really enjoy Pink Piggy because the story that I will be doing is called The Case of the Missing Pink Piggy. And this is a larger version of it, to be quite honest with you, but this is the smaller version, and I'll be taking books for the children to have. Along with that, I've got my puppets, and this is Pink Piggy. And sometimes, Danielle, even when I was at the museum, because you're using the visual more than the text part, and then when I was writing, I was using the text part with the visual. But what I like to do is to get the children involved, and I'll have the teacher say, okay, and this is Speedy, the pack rat that's in the story. And the teacher can actually hand these puppets out. And when I come to the point in the story that involves the pack rat, the child can raise it up and, kind of hold it up, or with Pink Piggy, they can hold it up. And I've also, because I want to be fair with the children, I'll tell the teacher every few minutes, because I have an audio book that goes with my case of the missing Pink Piggy. And in the audio book, I've got places where I can stop. And when I stop, I can ask a question, and then the teacher could maybe flip to two other children to actually have access to that because, the classes are fairly big. I will hand out, this is one of the squeeze toys because Nina, which was the female dog, and then her brother Lobo, she couldn't find her squeezy pink piggy. And so each child would get a keychain, so that they will remember this book, and hopefully they can squeeze it when they do good things. Or you can just make anything up that you want to. But I love to do that. And also, I have, and I don't have it sitting right here, and I don't want to take the time to get up and go get it. But in the back of the book, I have all sorts of activities for the children, and the teacher at their leisure, can go through if she so desires, and they can do one or two of these activities. Basically, I have an activity at the beginning of it for the second graders, and then I'll do one activity for the third and one for the fourth. If we have time, if we don't, I'll hand out the sheets, and then the teacher can do that with them in her classroom. And that usually works pretty good because I like to move with the children, because I've been doing this for over 20 years. The teachers can use the book and can help the children, and hopefully that will encourage, because parents are the ones that can raise the readers, but my books are tools, and they can use those books to help raise readers, and that's my whole desire, to get the parents involved too.
I love that, and I love your approach because it, for me, at working with children for so long, I've noticed that reading is not just sitting there and reading words on a page. You need to bring the
Right.
story to life. You can get children who don't want anything to do with books to actually love stories and reading because you have the audio books, you have the puppets, you have something tangible, squeaky. You're working with all of the senses. So, of course, with the years of experience, you bring in the senses. Why do you think it's so important to bring all of that into your storytelling?
Because my books are where children can walk through them. And that's what I feel is important. And the senses, to me, it makes the child, and I had noticed this when I was a docent at the museums. Children, if you just stand there and say, this painting is blah, 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 means nothing to them. But if you say, let's go into that painting, let's see what's on that tree, can you tell me the colors? So you're bringing them in. They're using their imagination. And once again, their imagination is fabulous. And I think, Danielle, and in talking with you're like me in a way, in the sense that you're better than I am, trust me. But what I'm, no. Well, I mean, what I'm saying is imagination. I mean, I can see it on your face. You love dealing with children. And that's why you do what you do. Why I do what I do is because I love it. And I love dealing with the children. I love to see their eyes sparkle when they get the idea. I love to ask questions and pull them into the story. And that's, I always tell them, you know, we're going to walk through this book. We're not just going to sit here. And I don't mean that we get up and actually walk. Occasionally, if I have a rowdy class, yes, we will stand up and we'll do something. But to walk through the story means that you have to use the senses. And the senses to me, when I write stories, you know, one of the most important thing, of course, are the senses, to be quite honest with you. If you have to bring those in a story, you have to bring in the first paragraph, a hook is what they call it. When you bring your reader with you, or in the title and the characters. And it's very important because those are the life lessons that children learn. You learn them through the animals, which they love. And it's not like preaching. It's like just giving them ideas. And that, I think that's very important.
I love that. So I know I grew up with that. There was always a moral to the story, but that you had to learn. But by doing it and with your approach, the children figure it out on their own, which I think is even more empowering, because now they're not just learning something we're telling them to learn. They're seeing it through the characters. And I know you go beyond that, and you mentioned you have activities after, before or after, where you get the child to create their own story or to go further than just the
Oh
story.
yes,
So it
I
can
can.
walk
I
us through.
okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But
No, no, no.
yes, I love to do that, and I've done it at several of the schools when we lived in New Mexico. And what I would do is I would make arrangements with the teachers. They would pick out a state that we were going to use, and usually, like New Mexico, they use the state of New Mexico. They would pick out eight animals. Six or eight animals, depending on what they wanted for their class. And then when they did that, then I would have them have the children pick out only two animals. And the reason we pick out two animals is that's enough for little ones, second and third and fourth graders, I think. Concentrate on just those two animals. One is a protagonist, which will be the child, the hero of the story. And one animal is the hero. And the second animal would be an antagonist, someone that maybe disrupted the scene, or made a little bit of the problems that were going to be solved. And then they would actually draw their own illustration. So I wanted them only to do one page. And the reason one page, because that way we can concentrate on the first, second, and third paragraphs. First one being where the hook is, the beginning of the story, the middle part of the story, and the ending. But they would have to, I wanted them to use the library in the schools so that they could look up their animal and they could find out some, you know, just a couple of characteristics of their animal or a couple of personality traits of their animal. And then we would do that, and I had them put that into the stories. One thing I've noticed with little ones, and I don't know if it still is the way it is today, but especially with second graders, when I would have them try to write the story, they might put the brown bear. And I would tell them, always use a description, because the reader doesn't know what color these animals are. You have to tell the reader. It's like doing a movie. You walk into the scene, and that. So I'm getting a little complicated, but that's kind of how I would do it. And I noticed that the children would put the brown bear instead of I am the brown bear. So I try, you know, because when they're the protagonist, they are the hero. They are the I in the story. And then they would, then we would, with the teacher, we would do the draft of the story. And then we would do the finished project with it, and with their illustration, which would mean, you know, they could draw whatever they wanted to, as long as it had something to do with their story. That's all you know, that would be the requirement. And then the teacher would put it all together in like a book form. And then there are many places that you can find that will actually publish the work. In other words, Scholastics does it. And then my publisher at Story Monster, she also does that.
Yeah.
And they will take your book, they will put it together, and then you've got a book for Christmas. And all of the stories from that one class is in there. So
That's
it's
amazing.
and that I love doing that because the children learn to have a plot, you know, in other words, the action of the story. And you sort of start out slow and you go up a hill and you have action and then you have the solution to your story and coming down. Some of them, and I don't have time today, but I saved because I got a book from each of the I can show you one if you just want to see what it looks like. Okay, and
Yeah,
I
sure.
apologize, but it's right up here, so it's not a big
Oh,
deal.
no
But
worries.
and it can be on the children draw the cover. This
Oh,
is the paperback. And so the
I
children can draw the cover, okay? And all the children can participate in that. And then each child can write, and you can't see this, but they will write their story and then they will do their picture on one side.
That's
And
so
what I
wonderful.
think, to be honest with you, I love reading The Case of the Missing Pink Piggy and going through it, but this puts my words in action for the child. And that's the most important thing. So.
I love that. And I mean, of course, the children are going to want to read their own story or their classmates'
Right.
stories.
And
So there's
that's
so much.
why. Yeah, I'm not trying to interrupt you, but before I forget, what I do with that, and you brought it up to me when you said the children will want to read their own story, what we do is we get it back from whatever, the publisher, whatever, and then we have a party with that class and we invite the parents. And if they can come, which I'm hoping, you know, most of the time you've got at least one of the parents that can attend. We have a little party and each child gets up and reads her story to the whole class if they want to. And most, you know, most children actually do want to do that by that time. And occasionally a parent will get up and read it, which is the same, you know, the same. And they also autograph each other's book.
Oh,
So, and
that's
that's
amazing.
really neat because what I end up doing is when I get one of these, they've autographed my copy. And so I can always remember that. That's kind of the dessert, so to speak, on the top of the meat of the story, which is a regular reading.
I love that. It's such a gift to give to a child. Or I could see that because even in the daycares, whether I worked in preschools where the kids are just a little too young to write their stories, but we'd have them narrate it and then we would write it down.
Right.
And so
And
this is taking it a step further. I love that because we'd even have grandparents for story time to have a grandparent come and read their grandchild's story. There's so much you could do with that. So it's so beautiful the work that you do. There's so many more things I could ask you, and time is going by so fast. But I'm going to put you
okay.
on the spot a little bit and ask, what would be
Okay.
your advice? Because you've been doing this for quite a bit for parents who really want to get their kids into reading, or you know, because you mentioned that the descriptive words, the personality traits, the emotions you can relay through the characters. What are some advice you could give parents on, or even teachers, to get the kids a bit more interested in reading books? Because that's something that is not as common now. Kids are more on screen. So what would be your advice for that?
Well, what my biggest advice would be to make sure that your children are reading, and that's the first thing, and to make it fun for them. If you have a museum in your city, you know, read first of all, read a book, preferably mine. But I'll put a plug in
That's
on
right. Read my
Amazon,
book.
but. Yeah, my book. And then talk about it at dinner time. And I know they're in sports or in activities, but at some point, set a goal for them. Like with my children, we would say, okay, we would hand them a book, let's say, or they would help pick out a book. Okay. And you have access to all kinds of books nowadays. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can buy books for $5. They're at your library, they're in your bookstores. And then take the book home and say, okay, all right, what I want you to do is go ahead and sit down and read this book. And when you're reading it, think of yourself in it, to think of yourself walking through it so that you can feel and hear and see and almost touch what's in that book. And then we will talk about it. and then pick a good time, a time that's available. And it's hard at night times when they're in all these activities, but if you've got a time for dinner time, gosh, it's great. Or even taking them to school. You know, oh, remember that book that you read? But you're going to have to read it too. That's the point of this is the parent's going to have to read it so they know. But that would be that just more reading. I know my husband, and I'm just going to tell you a quick story on my husband. My husband, of course, everybody considers her, well, I do. My spouse was, he was brilliant. He was my love of my life. But his mother had him reading everything. I mean, including an encyclopedia or the dictionary. No, I'm not, you know, we're not into that. I mean, not, well, we could be, but she set a goal for him every week to have done something like that. And you know, that would be a humbling from me, very humble here, recommendation, because we've got to get them off of those iPads and all of that. And when you go out to dinner, don't, and I know you've already done that, but with your family and with your audience, don't take the iPads to dinner. Talk to the child, because that time is so precious and it goes by so fast. And all of a sudden they're grown and they're gone. And that's the most important thing we can do for our children.
That is so true. And those books too, because you, I mean, just the audio version, when you're in the car on the way to school, you could be listening to that
Right.
story and talking about it. What do you think? Like you said, when you're teaching with the students and you can pause the book and have
Right.
them ask questions about what's happening just to get that vocabulary, that conversation going. It creates such a great connection with your child. So I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Where can people get your book? Because it's so important to get the book.
On Amazon, my books are on Amazon, and also the publisher, Story Monsters, my books are on HarkyAnimalTales.com, and that is through the web, that one website with my publisher.
Love
Okay,
that.
and I do have another website, and it's HarkyBooks.com, and that's got the books also. So, you know,
Oh,
either
excellent.
one, but Amazon's probably the best place because you get them for the, you know, for less amount of money, so to speak, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and it's accessible to so
And
many
it's
people right
accessible
now.
to most people, and most people
Yeah.
love Amazon. So, yeah.
I love that. I'll make sure to put the websites in the description of this episode so people can go back and have a look when they're ready. I love
Okay.
that. And Story Monsters, they really do. I mean, with all the puppets and the little squeaky
You
toys and
know,
all of it, it's
yeah,
great.
it absolutely, and I'm not just saying this because I go there, but Linda Radke is the best publisher I've ever been around. She's like you, Danielle, and I don't know if I mentioned that last time or not, but I'm just being honest. She's like you. She has a passion for children. She has a passion for books, and everybody on her team is that way. And I have you know, she has people that are contracted from Disney that actually work on the books, like mine, et cetera. And I'm not trying to tout it. I'm just saying the kind of books that you want as parents are the kind of books that publishers really truthfully are trying to put as much as they can in it. And in the back of my case of the Missing Pink Piggy, all of those activities are phenomenal. And that was due to her team. You
Yeah,
know,
there is a
so
lot of
that's really, and
creativity.
I'm not plugging, well, I guess I am,
We are now.
but I'm, yeah, we are, but I'm sincere in my heart, and she will go to the nth degree to help her authors, and that's above and beyond.
I've noticed that, and I was blown away by what they do because I've had a couple more authors on the podcast that gone through Story Monsters, and it's the work, and they. You know, you're still creatively involved in your work and you know, so I think it's great. So yeah, we're gonna, that was not intentional, but we put a little plug in there. But
They
yes,
put a
you
little
could
plug in there. Yeah.
with the songs and everything, I think it's great. Is there
Yeah.
anything new coming up for you? I know you're kind of into the missing case of Piggy and getting into schools to do some more activities. So is there anything else coming up?
Well, well, actually, I'm going to be doing the school, but I'm also going to be doing one of my reading things too, at the school, and then I'm going to be going around and getting for the libraries and things like that in this area. I'm going to be working to try to get in there. But I did just get published in, and it's Beyond Boundaries. It's from the Southwest Writers Group. And they have tons of different works in there. And I got second place for that in the middle school. Yeah. And it's for a manuscript. It's called The Curious Friendship of Patch and Barney. And see, Barney's a skunk and Patch is a dog. And so it's bringing together, that's what you, yeah, these are the things that I love doing and getting involved. Yes. Is the
Yeah.
most important thing. So basically, that's it. You know, just talking about that.
I love that. I love that. You bring so much passion to your work. It's just like it's you just light up when you talk about your work, and that's what I love about you.
Oh,
Because you can tell it
bless
comes from
you.
the it comes from the heart. It's not something that you do,
Right. Yeah.
for whatever the other reason than just to get kids excited about reading and learning through those stories. I think it's so important.
Yeah, and one last thing. My next door neighbor, he's a vice principal and she is a teacher at a school nearby. And they have three children. Charlie is six, and then there's Mason, who's three, and then Theo was just born. And when you say a delight, I went over, I told her, I said, I've got a new book, I've got a new book. And I didn't have the book of The Case of the Missing Pink Piggy, but I did have pictures that I had gotten from the internet when we were doing it. So I went over and read it to him.
Yeah.
And but I had Pink Piggy at the time. I took this with me. And little Mason, who's only 3 years old, he said, I want to keep Pink Piggy. So those are it, that's not monetary delight, Danielle. That's why we do it, because in my mind, I will always remember the faces of the children that really love your work, or the kids that come up to you in the classroom and hug you because they're just happy. And we want our
That's it.
children happy. So that's it.
That's so true,
That's
and
it.
that's what it's all about, is to have
Yeah.
that positive impact on the child and to see them light up like that. You're thinking, wow, it's just it brings out something they didn't even know they were that creative. I think it's wonderful to see that. So I do appreciate it. Like I said, I could talk to you all day, but we are gonna wrap it up. And
I
I'm
could
gonna
talk to you all day too.
we'll have to get together at some point and just over
Right,
some
I'll have to
coffee.
come up to Canada.
Yes.
Or
Oh,
you
I
come
love
down
it.
to Oklahoma.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's right. I'll be more than happy to be the voice for the puppet as you're reading.
Yeah,
I'll
oh,
just
I'd
play
love to
along.
have you. I have a
I'm just.
little outfit for the case of the missing pink piggy too, by the way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
Oh, I'm
we've
just.
got a little outfit that goes with it that's really kind of cute, and I'm going to have a fifth grader wear that tomorrow. Anyway, that's beside the point.
That is amazing. But I am going to put you on the spot and ask you, is there anything else before we wrap up? Anything you'd like to share or a message that you would like to relay to parents or teachers about what we just talked about?
Yeah, there probably would be one message, and that is have your children follow their dreams always, and live every day with your child. That's I don't know how else I can say that, and enjoy those little things that sometimes we get irritated and agitated, but as you get older, you realize, gosh, that was so minor. If we could just touch and hold our child every day and say, hey, it's going to be okay, and just give them your values and your care, help them. That's what I would say, because they'll need it in the next, as they get old. So that's it.
I love that. That's so important. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because
You're
yeah,
welcome.
sometimes we get caught up on the day-to-day and not, it is
Oh,
just temporary stress, but yeah,
yes.
it's just to put that
And I
aside.
can speak from experience, because I got real, you get so caught up in all those things that you're doing and you're raising them and you're thinking, okay, well, you can do that. You know what I'm saying? And then it's
Yeah.
not there anymore. Yeah. So
Yeah,
that's
I
it.
got it. goes by so fast. I have grown
Yes,
boys.
it
Well, they're
does.
not boys, they're men now, but yeah, I miss that now. It's just like
Don't
it
you?
went by
Yeah.
so fast. Yeah, so just to hold on to them a
It
little longer.
really does. And see, I'm into great grandchildren now. So when I go out with my granddaughter and I've got my little granddaughter who was just born, Lucy Marie. This the case of the missing piggy was piggy was dedicated to her, and it is such a pleasure, because when I'm with them, we went to the zoo, and just to see their faces. I mean, I noticed I'm looking more at the faces of the children, because that's where all of the expressions and all the things are. So
Yeah, and
that's it.
it's such a privilege to be able to enter their world when you start looking at their expression and how they're seeing this, and you can live that magic with them. I think it's such a gift. Yeah.
That's what I like to do is to, pretend like we're whatever, and tell them, well, that animal really likes you. See how it's looking at you, Uriah or Lucy.
I love that. Again, I'm going to ask you that one question before we go, because I told you about it. I asked most of my guests is, what is it that you want to do, or what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to just continue what I am doing and perhaps get my book spread all over the world, to be honest with you, because I feel like that they have value and they are, I write them with a heart and a soul. And I think that's very important. And I'd love for more people to read my books and to see my books and to go as far as they will go.
I love that. So beautiful. Thank you. And I love to hear that you are doing what you want to do, and it's just take it to the next level. I love that. Thank you so much. I could keep you on forever, but we are good. I really do appreciate you coming by and sharing your story with us. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. For everybody listening and watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And don't forget to have a look at Linda's work on her websites. I will add the information in the description. Don't forget to get her book. You absolutely want to get your hands on the missing case, the case of the missing piggy.
Piggy. I know. I stumbled over it four or five
It's a
times while
little
we were
tongue
talking.
twister this morning, but
I
no,
know it
don't.
really is.
I love it. So don't forget to get your hands on that book. It's just as fun for adults as it is for children. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.